coming down the mountain.
If ever I saw a blessing in the air, I see it now, in this still early day, where lemon green the vaporous morning drips wet sunlight on the powder of my eye. Blown bubble film of blue the sky wraps round, weeds of warm light, whose every root and rod sputters with soapy green, while all the world sweats with a bead of summer in its bud. If ever I heard blessing, it was here, where birds in trees that shoals and shadows are splash with their hidden wings, and drops of sound break on my ears their crests of throbbing air. Pure in the haze, the emerald sun dilates. The lips of sparrows milk the mossy stones, while, white as water by the lake, a girl swims her green hand among the gathered swans. Now as the almond trims its smoking wick, dropping small flames to light the candled grass, now as my low blood scales its second chance, if ever world were blessed, now it is. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to announce to you the beginning of an all-new Ask Dr. Hal show, live on radio. Yes. Dear fiends, it is I, your irritating horror host, Dr. Howland Owl. And tonight, once again, we shall test the thin membrane that lies between our world and the twilight world of spirits, ghosts, and long unavenged injuries thirsting for the blood of the descendants of the guilty ancestors. You ask why we are in a world of terror and dishonesty, why we are threatened with unimaginable catastrophe? It is because your beloved ancestors committed hideous crimes in secrecy and silence, and now you must pay the loathsome price, which is listening to this program and considering everything. It's not so bad. It's just, a collection of stuff. It's not going to hurt anything. And you will expiate your sins on the cosmic account, that portion of the slate of the Akashic records will be rubbed clean with the Akashic kneadable eraser. And there you can go. It will be a new time, a new day. Every day is a new beginning. And we like to think, over here at the Ask Dr. Hal show live on radio, that every show also is potentially the start of something new, vast and formless, spreading vast wings across the skies of the noosphere. Or perhaps an insignificant moth, tiny, fluttering in the noosphere and devouring the leaves of a Gutenberg Bible or something. I mean, I'm just trying to even out this speculation. But come with me as we set one foot before the other, walking down the sinusoidal path leading to the great aperture at the foot of the giant mountain that goes up farther than can be seen. Oh, this is a strange forest of gnarly trees on either side of the path. Their branches interlocked overhead, shut out the sky and its light. I cannot see what flowers are at my feet, nor what soft incense hangs upon the boughs. But in embalmed darkness, guess each sweet wherewith the seasonable month endows the grass, the thicket, and the fruit tree wild, white hawthorn, and the pastoral eglantine, fresh fading violets covered up in leaves, and mid-May's eldest child, the coming musk rose, full of dewy wine, the murmurous haunt of flies on summer eves. Darkling, I listen, and for many a time I have been half in love with easeful death. Called him soft names in many a mused rhyme to take into the air my quiet breath. Now, more than ever, seems it rich to die, to cease upon the midnight with no pain, whilst thou art pouring forth thy soul abroad in such an ecstasy. So mightst thou sing, and I have ears in vain, to thy high requiem become a sod. And maybe, just maybe, K-Rob may come in and do us the honor and courtesy of paying us a visit. But other things are stirring abroad in the night, and let me briefly prepare you for their advent. For I'm sure that is what you would prefer, eh, etherettes and rocket rookies, followers of this program, faithful listeners, or perhaps serendipitous wanderers simply happening upon this stream of pixels. Memorial Day is coming at us fast, at the usual rate, and here in the city of many podcasts, much is happening, and principally, tomorrow, Carnival will happen, which means that there's a honking great parade. Well worth seeing. You ought to get out and see it. It's astonishing, but unfortunately, the city has interfered with its natural development. Unfortunately, the city has made it a San Francisco event. And now it is no longer a spontaneous upwelling from the cultural heart of the Mission District, but something which the city is charging money for and can close down if it wants, since now San Francisco owns it. It's like Halloween in the Castro. They can decide, oh, we just won't have it this year. All these things came from the bottom up. But our eager beaver supervisors and the hidden players in the shadows, particularly one Ron Conway, head of the San Francisco Real Estate Association, actually pulled the strings, and they don't want anything to interfere with the golden stream that constantly pours in of inflated rents, which is making them rich as Croesus, or richer. Who knows? How many water skiing yachts did Croesus own? But let us be on our way. When we do Ridlodio tomorrow, it will be impossible for puzzling evidence to get his vehicle there. Streets will be barred, and over-officious local teenagers will be hired to prevent people from walking to the area where the Ridlodio studio is located. And therefore, it's going to be damn hard to get there for me and Kayra, but impossible for puzzling evidence. Therefore, no guest and no puzzling evidence. It'll be a show of just me and K-Rob. Sarah Z will not be present because it is Charlie's birthday, and Charlie wishes that their mother spend time with them and not hanging around with a bunch of lollygaggers, tosspots, bed pressers, and the like who comprise the members of the Ridlodio show. So be advised, it will be a twofer, but K-Rob and I have put on things by ourselves many times before. And those who are our most long-standing listeners, first of all, ought to sit down, and then should know that it is something they are not entirely unfamiliar with. That's our story for tomorrow.
Well, actually, he's got a bunch of brothers, but
he
they're fighting over the wall at the moment.
Brothers aren't worth anything. They're not worth a bunch.
Unfortunately, I don't know how to tell you this, but Bob's dead.
Oh, yes, he was assassinated by puzzling evidence. It was terrible. I was there.
In the department store, these are mannequins.
Which one?
The one with the fishing rod.
He ain't no mannequin. J.R. Bob Dobbs was real. A terrible discovery, which shocked everyone in the church when the real Bob's data came up to the surface. And many now follow the Bob that was discovered. Others cling to the dot-faced Bob, which everyone has been familiar with.
Plug people. Very popular in the city.
Box Squatch, Washington.
Yes.
Bob existed before that face was ever located in
the
Bell Systems clip art book for Dallas, Texas, back in that semi-legendary time.
Radio world.
But when Ivan Stang and Philo Drummond saw it, they said, "Oh, that's Bob. That's gotta be Bob.
Who killed the show?"
And so, by some strange, unearthly, and eerie coincidence, it was Bob. And the story, which they thought a fiction about his early life, turned out to be completely true. Just how eerie and disturbing is that?
We've been suffering from audiovisual AIDS, but perhaps we can be cured.
Perhaps we don't deserve it.
Here's another scene from the famous festival. And look, a bloody car and a grotesque car accident in the experiment.
More Driver's Ed films. These terrible sights of teenagers ground into hamburger on the highway.
Goodbye.
Hello.
But, you know, the movies don't seem to have an ameliorating effect. Because it's so much fun to go fast and play chicken with your deadly 2-ton metal.
Look, you're probably the kind of person who's permanently depressed, right?
Yeah, like this one here.
Gory accident shots.
Well, I've been postulating all night.
Yes, hideous Driver's Ed films. And some of them, they would shoot dramatic parts with actors to build up to the moment they showed you the real gut smut, the horrid mutilations narrated by some drawling sheriff pointing out, well, there's an eyeball here and a little bit of the girl's brains here over by her hair ribbon. Oh, yeah, we used to be herded into the high school auditorium to see those. Why, you modern kids have not the slightest idea of what that used to be like, I can tell you.
It's so much easier to just let that weight of this show keep you slowed down.
Yeah, I remember
what
being
the show makes you wait?
Slow shows. You just don't care.
I guess
you'll
the show
just
makes
go on
everybody wait.
Doing what you're told.
Scientists are still not sure.
Follow your orders.
Because everything we say from here on out is going to sound like utter boredom to you.
I don't think you're letting these slides
you're normal, it will.
On for a long enough time for people to see them. Ah, there. That's
you are normal, aren't you?
And that's a little bit
stay
better.
Away. Yes, keep your distance.
Well, that one looks pretty good. Now, what's this?
Well, now, we need to introduce the usual archival material, because without it, this show, it lacks the ability to snap, crackle, and pop.
What's the big
problem? Which brings us to this.
Wake up in the morning, there's a snap around the place. Wake up in the morning, there's a crackle in your face. Wake up in the morning, there's a pop that really says, Rice Krispies to you, and you, and you. We're on the milk and listen to the snap that says it's nice. We're on the milk and listen to the crackle of that rice. Get up in the morning to the pop that says it's rice. Hear them talking crisp, Rice Krispies.
Kellogg's Rice Krispies. Snap, crackle, and pop.
When you find that you're running down slowly, and you need a lift that will last, there's something that you should be knowing. So listen, start filling your
glass. We found a quick and easy way to keep you going through the day. So wake up
to a
milk.
Yes, a huge glass of milk, and I don't mean oat milk or any abomination like that either. Very dairy.
Milk in the morning's refreshing.
Moloco Plus.
Time, it's such a delight.
Oh.
And if you've a thirst that needs quenching, milk any time is
morning,
all right.
Morning, noon, night, or in between. It's really out of sight.
And you can put it in your coffee, too.
Matters in the sense of the old joke that is now really old.
Your mouth tells you Brim is coffee. Good, rich coffee, it will say.
Yes, a manly mug of murk. Coffee that your spoon will stand up in.
Yes, your mouth tells you Brim is coffee. Good, rich coffee, it will say.
Wish I had some now.
Introducing Brim, the coffee made from coffee-soaked coffee beans. It's brimming with flavor to make your mouth feel good. And no caffeine to keep the rest of you feeling good. New Brim decaffeinated coffee.
No caffeine, you could call it. Why bother?
Yes, your head will tell you difference, cause the caffeine's gone.
Microphone, Hal. It's okay.
Wacky, goofy,
come on, Hal.
Yes, even if he's not here, he's too loud. We'll stop that, Hal.
Yeah, we will.
That you sort of.
Scared to be alone in the dark.
Well, he promised he'd come, and I promised I wouldn't. So.
And if you're scared to be alone in the dark, listen to us now. We're beginning the show.
Yes, we're going to wind it up to the very tightest little spring.
Do not overwind.
We're just going to let it run.
Or you can damage the show mainspring.
And his faithful dog, Ouija.
For the rest of your life.
Hey, what? the rest of your life has just started.
Well,
oh, it hurts, I know, but
it's a load of ouch.
Time to pay taxes and start we'll using the copy guys. Camera in your basement.
You just grab that's
that
right.
For bay
that's right.
Kelly Cash is trying to tell you about them right now, but she's not even in Africa. No, no. She never left the country. She's still in New York, living it up away from that saddened, sodden artist they call a peony.
Well,
or whoever he is, all we know is he's miserable, he's sick, and he's dead, but he's our pal.
We'll make fun of him as long as we can. Because we have no choice, really.
Well, you know he's in the background, and though he refuses to be here, well, of course, the rest of us refuse to be here, too, so it's only fitting that he is here.
That noise signifies a change of mood. I hate to break up the nice solemnity there, but I'm here to be funny. Now, on the other hand, these are not funny times anymore. I was hoping they would be funnier. But, but I'm not going to bum you all out tonight. I'm going to do that on Saturday afternoon when I have we'll preach an actual, somewhat more thought out sermon that is, I hope,
sir, ma'am,
going to really, really humiliate and insult some minority of people. I'm pretty sure the majority at Starwood will be going, yeah, right on, finally somebody's saying it. And there's going to be some people going, he's making me feel like a snowflake.
Snowflake.
Oh, I can't wait. Now, actually, things can still be funny these days, and not even from the White House. In fact, my script was written when I turned on when I looked at a news website this morning. There were two things in there that were. One was so dumb, I just had to jump up and go, praise Bob! And the other one was so cool that I had to jump up and go, praise Bob! In fact, let's all do that. Praise Bob!
Praise Bob!
You know, it's amazing to me, some of these graphics that are being projected by Waking Dream started off as, well, I have to admit it, LSD scribbles.
LSD made a wreck of me. LSD made a wreck of me.
And then into translated into clip art and then redrawn by really good artists. And now, thanks to thousands of dollars worth of equipment, they look like LSD scribbles again.
I started using LSD. It gave me quite a kick. It's better than booze and it's easy to use, but it made me mentally sick. I'm on my way to awful prison. Got the monkey off my back. I got one time with LSD and it won't be a coming back. If you ever take that LSD, the story must be told. It'll ruin everything that's in your life and use up all your gold. I'm on my way to awful prison.
The circle is complete. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. But,
yes, they're okay. The first thing I saw in the news today, it did my heart such good. It had to do with this Creation Museum in Kentucky. It's a really expensive one, and the only way they could sink so much money into something that dumb was by using taxpayer money.
Oh, Creation Museum. Creation Museum. No, no, I don't want that. I don't like those people. I am the Earth's most grateful resident. I stand atop time's mighty monument. Creation has transpired that I can be. The ages have an heir, and I am he. But now, discordant sounds assault my ears. An uninvited, ignorant mob appears. To them I say, keep your dull dreams, but don't expect me to endorse them, since I won't. For as all ought to know, and all will learn, truth shall reveal itself when comes its turn.
Instead of doing a science museum, they did a creation science museum with taxpayer money. I happen to be fairly well acquainted with a different creation museum, one in Texas. The Creation Evidence Texas. Museum. I know too much about it. I visited it for the first time just last year, and I'm building a competing
I went there
museum
with
in
Stang.
Texas called the Destructionist Museum.
We looked at their 20-foot-long model of Noah's Ark and other things.
Don't give away all of our secrets yet.
Had dinosaurs in
it. It's going to be great, and the road signs leading up to it will be as good as Burmeshade.
A roadside arrest area.
the Creation Evidence Museum in Kentucky. Oh, it's gigantic. It's built to look like Noah's Ark.
Noah's Ark.
Which is basically a big box of so many cubits. And
yes, how about them cubits?
I've never been there myself, but I know that it has lost so much money, they can't believe it. It costs so much. It costs the taxpayers of Kentucky a lot, and it's not working.
Well, Noah spent his savings on his.
Wanting to like it, and they come away going, well, that was sure lame. So it made the news that it was failing miserably. Here's the great part. The director of that museum, a Mr. Ken Ham.
Oh, that's a son of a...
The news, I think, this morning, he explained the reason that they failed so miserably financially was because of atheists praying for them to fail. Now stop and think about that. That's a direct quote. We failed because the atheists prayed for us to fail. Do you know what that tells us? For one thing, there's what, like maybe one atheist for every 50 Christians or believers of whatever kind? The guy just admitted that praying to nobody works 10 times better than praying to Jesus. If I'd have known that my prayers would be heard by God,
you'd give him a piece of your mind, wouldn't you, Stang?
I believe in God. I'd be talking to myself. I shouldn't say that it's not that I don't believe in God. It's that why would I or anyone else be expected to understand that kind of thing?
Yeah.
It's a miracle enough that we can understand some of the rules of the force of gravity. So, but anyway, you know, if there are any disbelievers, fellow disbelievers like myself who tend to believe in everything, so that kind of negates it all, that's very encouraging. Your prayers to no one and nothing, your vague wishes work better than the concerted efforts of the people running the Kentucky Creation Evidence Museum. Praise Bob.
Praise
Bob. That was the dumb. Yeah, atheist. The prayer. Scores of atheists caused us to fail. Thank you, Ken Ham. You made my day. The next thing in the news, it was from the neighboring state of Tennessee, which normally is as dumb as Kentucky, although not nearly as dumb as Texas, Alabama, Kansas, Mississippi, and Arkansas.
Yep.
I really follow this stuff. And
we all do in the Church of the Subgenius. We don't say, oh, I never think about that. We always think about it.
It's from the Tennessee newspaper, the Chattanooga Bystander. It has a picture of a Tennessee license plate with the words Hail Satan in the middle of it and a pentangle upside down, as it should be. Hail Satan license plates now available in Tennessee. Now, that's not all there. I remember when there was a pagan guy in the military that was sued so that he could get pagan stuff on his tombstone at Arlington Cemetery, and I think he won. Well, this was something like that. After Tennessee legislators passed a bill to allow residents to get license plates that bear the phrase, In God We Trust, in the interest of religious diversity, other plates were made available that bear other religious phrases, including Shalom, Namaste, Praise Jah, and Hail Satan. I'm sure they have plenty of other ones. They should have a Hail Eris on there. But get this. It's only fair, said Tennessee State Senator Brody Prinshrip. I'll say the name again. Brody, Senator Brody Prinshrip. He said, quote, we should celebrate our diversity. This is unusual for Tennessee. Quote, yes, we are deep in the Bible Belt, but the freedom of religion is a constitutionally protected right, said.
If only they thought like that today.
Holding up a license plate with the phrase, there's no prob with Bob.
Yay.
So, that's an available license plate. Now, I feel like writing to him and going, hey, actually, we're a Texas novelty company, and that's not religious freedom. That's a trademark violation. But, hey, you know, come on.
Yeah, let's not be so rigid in our beliefs.
The interesting thing is somebody in the government office that runs license plates knew about us.
Yeah.
In there with all the other world religions. The Church of the Subgenius is not all that famous, and which, frankly, that's really fine with us. Because just as Jesus said in one of those books, you can't try to save everybody because most of them will misinterpret everything you say. Jesus said that. But look what happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he tried to start this cool little funny joke cult, and oh my God, look what happened. A couple of guys in the 1600s decided to write a satirical pamphlet under the fictitious name Christian Rosencrantz. It was a joke, but it turned into the entire New Age. So my old partner and I, Dr. Philo Drummond, have been very, very careful to make sure the Church of the Subgenius has elements built into it, trap doors and rugs that get pulled out from under you if you start to believe the wrong things, which is any of it. And so that we don't end up inadvertently starting another thing like the Mormons or Scientology, only 1,000 times worse, because our stuff's so much better, frankly. So, horribly, it's more believable. And in fact, since last year, the most ridiculous, absurd, impossible to even imagine subgenius prophecies, much like Mike Judge's movie Idiocracy, all came to pass. Arnold Palmer died. That meant the Trevenus won. Donald Trump is president. Obviously, Dobbs' prophecy came true. It's not our fault, okay? In fact, we were selling a button last year that said, "Don't blame me, I voted for Bob." Although, if you did actually vote for Bob, I'm afraid we do blame you. But the important thing was, because I didn't, the important thing was, I left that little button, it's red, white, and blue button that said, "Don't blame me, I voted for Bob." Mine got into the wash, and it got washed, but it came out fine. These colors don't run! I see some people are old enough to remember that one. Oh, what else? I'm planning to do a kind of a serious sermon on Saturday because, well, the president said it was okay to be crude and un-PC and insult people. And have I got some crude and un-PC insulting things for just a smattering of the crowd, I think. I'm an optimist about that kind of thing, although this year I gotta admit, it started to turn out that our most pessimistic, our most outrageously pessimistic notions in Church of the Subgenius turned out to be laughably optimistic and naive. You can't write science fiction as nutty as what's going on now, although Neal Stephens' Anathem is not a bad start. It takes place in a world where science has basically been outlawed, and I know not all of y'all are scientists. In fact, I'm just a junior scientist, and for that matter, I'm really just a clown junior scientist. But they did kind of basically start outlawing science this year. Church of Subgenius sells you a doctorate in the forbidden sciences. Well, all sciences are forbidden at this point. Astrology, astronomy, they're all exactly the same. Alternate facts. So welcome to the Church of the Subgenius, all you forbidden scientists. If you even suspect that evolution might be right, that's thought crime. It's funny, I had to drive to Wisteria three times in the last 2 weeks from Cleveland, so I ended up listening to audiobooks. I listened to an audiobook of George Orwell's 1984. Well, what a surprise! It sounded like a boring, old, outdated documentary. I said I wasn't going to bum everybody out. Okay, so I'll talk about something cute. Dogs.
They're cute, all right.
You don't see dogs at Starwood very, very often. I guess there's some people, if you have one of those licenses that says your dog is your service animal, or your it's okay. I have seen somebody walking a dog around here. The thing is, this is my first Starwood where I had to bring a dog. I inherited an old hound dog from my father,
Buddy,
who shot through, as he put it, about 2 years ago. I got his beautiful house and his cool old coon hound.
Buddy.
It's actually technically a Tree and Walker coonhound. I wish he could be here tonight. He would love to meet everybody. He's a very laid-back old dog. He's a terrible watchdog. If a burglar came in the house, he'd wag his tail and beg for treats from him.
Well, who wouldn't?
But his kind isn't allowed here.
We don't like your kind around here.
Because a lot of people think their dog is the best, like their child. They assume it's the best creature in the world until it pees on somebody else's dog or child or bites their face off or whatnot. So, really, the rules here are very similar to that bar in the oldest Star Wars movie. You bring the dog over and it's like, we don't allow his kind in here. They also don't allow droids at Wisteria. Now, I'm not complaining about Wisteria. I understand the policy. But here's the thing. This room could be half droids. How would we know? Now, you could dress my hound dog up in a suit, and everybody would know he was a dog. I know because I tried. And I wasn't able to sneak him in. But droids, hey, they can make them pretty realistic now. I think they're up to a Nexus 7 or something. That's a pretty realistic model. How do you know that pagan sitting next to you isn't one of those, I don't know, Obama droids they put out a few years ago? In fact, how do you know you're not one? If you're well enough made, you wouldn't know the difference.
Like that Twilight Zone episode.
There's a TV show about that called Westworld, but I haven't seen it because I sort of swore off TV.
No.
As I say this, standing in a room full of projections of images that I've made. By the way, folks, you hear a lot about fake news and the lamestream media and all that. I actually worked in that for half my life. I never was. Well, yeah, actually, I was a journalist. A few times. I never finished college. So I ended up being, sometimes I was a writer, and sometimes I was a typesetter, sometimes I was just the office boy. But it was for mostly what you now call mainstream media. And my experience with that was, they actually tried not to lie. They have to satisfy advertisers. And every newspaper has some political bias one way or another. But most of them weren't really trying to make up fake stuff. They were trying to outdo each other, discovering real stuff. That's what their competition is all about. Somehow that got changed around. Oops, I wasn't going to talk about that. I was going to talk about the funny stuff. The dogs and the droids, okay? So how do you know? How do you know the person next to you isn't a really well-programmed artificial intelligence? Well, probably you can smell. We don't have Terminator models yet that actually stink just like people. We don't think. But that wouldn't be hard to do.
They smell like an old Lionel train transformer that's been on too long.
Probably fool my dog. So yeah, friends. This is the main point of the dog story. Okay,
a shaggy dog story.
In theory, transformation, learning. It wasn't originally started as a pagan thing specifically. It was started up kind of like that old magazine Mondo 2000. It was going to be a place, I think what Jeff and Joe had in mind was a festival where everyone was welcome. You could be a Satanist, an atheist, a Wiccan, a Druid, a clown junior scientist, or whatever. It was just, let's get together and prove that we're not really enemies. Let's communicate. And by the way, it's because of that I still have plenty of, let's just say it, Republican friends. And because
the idea,
when you stop talking, then that's the end, you know.
So I'd rather serve as an example of a libtard who
well, you live in Texas.
Completely joined that bubble yet. In fact, I spend an unhealthy amount of time inside the right-wing bubble and echo chamber, probably more than most Trump voters. Which, and I've been doing it since the 70s, which is why I may be a little bit more suspicious. But I wasn't going to go there. I was going to save that for Saturday. Okay, the transformational aspects of Starwood. It works on dogs. Just the vibes. The poor creature can't come down here with me, but we've been sneaking around the perimeter a lot. We're staying in Charlene's little bed and breakfast up at the top of the hill. And we can hear the music from up there. Mm. And he knows there's a party going on.
Nice
and we
place.
Go down to the registration place and greet people coming in. Before someone chases us away. And there are secret trails that lead down to the swimming hole.
Yes, there are.
That everyone's afraid to go in.
Not me. I go in.
The bravest and hardiest.
I've been in it many times.
Go down there and spied. Were you down there? We may have actually spied on you for a very brief time from a distance. We didn't want to creep anybody out. But, he wanted to get down there. Anyway, this place we're staying at, Charlene's, it has a creature that he's never seen domesticated before. This dog grew up on a cattle ranch, and all of his friends and relatives had dogs. No one had a cat. So suddenly, during the previous festival, X Day, and this one, Starwood, he was forced to live in a bed and breakfast with cats! And for the first 3 days, his whole attitude was, you don't understand, they're not dogs, you can't pet them, you can't feed them, they're cats, they're evil, they're the worst, stinkiest thing in the world, they're even stinkier than monkey people! Now, this dog was raised to chase raccoons, and cats are kind of the same size and move similarly. And he just, every instinct in his body made him want to chase Charlene's two cats and break their necks. But those are two cool cats. They both were, I think they were strays that she took in. One of them's a tough old tomcat named Sam. Sam was not intimidated by my gigantic hound dog. This dog is like a tiger. He's maybe more of the size of a mountain lion. He's really big. But the cat would not shirk or run away. So, of course, I basically had to hold the leash really tight. Dog just wanted to... It's a cat! We have to kill him! Well, I decided, hey, it's Starwood. He can learn. We're not going to be like the people on the internet that just insult each other all day long. We're going to actually try to communicate. So I sat there with that dog out on the porch with the cat about 5 feet away and a tight grip on the leash, and I just let that dog stare, trembling at that cat. And the cat stared boldly back at the dog. I let him do that. I sat there for half an hour. A little bit later on, we went in the house. There's a glass door at the kitchen. The dog could see the cat outside the glass door. The cat was just standing against the glass door. He was just sitting by the glass door, looking at the dog as if to say, I own this place, and you can't do anything at all. And the dog's just, if that glass wasn't there, I'd get that cat. I'd get that cat. Meanwhile, the cat saunters away
and heads off. And the dog can't see the cat, but he knows he's out there. He just couldn't let go of his intense hatred. The cat, meanwhile, climbs in the window behind the dog. There's four of us humans or subgeniuses watching and laughing as the cat walks up right behind the dog, who's still just so obsessed, he doesn't realize the cat has entered the room and is behind him. The cat walks up, sniffs the dog's butt, then flips around like, huh, and saunters away. At no point did the dog know that he, I don't normally use this kind of language, but it's literally true. Sam the cat made, damn it, the dog, his little bitch. Now, the funny thing, though, is after a couple of days, they got more and more used to each other. The dog knew that he was not going to be allowed to kill the cat, and he was forced to watch while people, including us, petted the cat. The cat got to eat this yummy, fishy-smelling food. The cat was treated just like a dog. And during X Day, the dog was still nervous around the cats. He kind of wanted to get after him, but we went back to Cleveland for a while, and we came back. The dog's like, we came back to Wisteria and that bed and breakfast. The dog is like, we're going back to that house full of cats again? Are you crazy? Well, I guess I'll try to make friends with them. And I swear, that dog has become so adjusted to the cats that he honestly, obviously wants to make friends. The cats have not gotten that far yet. But that dog, affected by the vibes of Starwood, changed from an instinct-driven, cat-killing monster, which was his job on a cattle ranch, into a friendly, open-minded, a lot more open-minded than those two cats are. I think he'd probably love to lay down and sleep with them. And maybe by the time Starwood is over, that will happen. Heck, maybe by the time Starwood's over, all of us will lay down and sleep together. Actually, that sounds kind of gross and horrible. I think that's for the Church of All Worlds, folks. Praise the Church of All Worlds. That's one of my favorite rival cults. We pretend to be a sex cult, but they're a real sex cult. So friends, really, that was my main thing. I just wanted to let you know that the influence of a calm or communication, possibly a certain amount of pot smoking, and just time can cause even a hound dog to become a cat lover. Now, could this possibly work with us monkey people? Not if we stay barking and growling at each other all the time. And I've noticed that most of that barking and growling, it happens on the internet where people aren't looking at each other. But that's where a lot of people spend more time. So, of course, things are getting nastier because you can be a cowardly, anonymous jerk if you want to. And a lot of people seem to spend all day long doing that. Last year, I stood here and said, I don't trust the cyber Bob. I only trust the real, the Bob that's in front of you. Actually, I'm terrified of both of them. But I think you know what I'm saying. It's better to look a person in the face and tell them they're an idiot than it is to do it on the internet, because when you're doing it to their face, you're going to be a lot more polite about telling them they're an idiot. And nobody's going to go to the point of punching each other in the nose, most likely. Now, if I do my job correctly on Saturday when I do my main sermon,
I'll get somebody to want to punch me in the nose. And then I'll know that I have succeeded. I've reached true communication. And I'm not worried about it because I'm usually much faster at ducking and running than the drunks that try to punch me in the nose. Friends, I think I've been yakking for about half an hour, and to tell the truth, we're taking care of an 88-year-old human and an 88-year-old dog, and we kind of have to go. I have to spend a lot of time up the hill babysitting while my wife, Princess We Are Doe, Queen of All the UFOs, is down here on the field saving Starwood with the help of the nostrils over there and everybody else on the base staff who is...
How about me?
...had to pick up the ball and run with it. You know, we've lost a lot of people. We've lost some hard-working Starwood volunteers.
In the midst
staff.
Of life, we
for
are...
For volunteers, they sure did spend a lot of time on it. And for no pay. And so we're glad to see younger people taking their places, and we'd love to see more of that, too. I'm one of the ones who got too old to deal with it anymore. I've got one bizarre religious cult that's all I can handle anymore. And I won't tell you anything about my bizarre religious cult because, as I said, we're not really trying to recruit you. However, I know you'll be a lot more curious by the fact that I don't talk about it. And we'll have a nice little $1 pamphlet that explains everything out there on Saturday. And a $20 book and a $35 ministerial ordainment to kit and t-shirts and the truth. Yes, we're selling the truth because we sold out of lies, I guess. And if Lies is listening, hi, Paul, but he wouldn't be. So thank you very much. Mayan Ruins is the greatest band in the universe, as you can tell. Well, they told me to say that last year when I introduced them. And then I found that I agreed. In fact, by the way, you guys, Princess Wee and I had to do 3 hours of radio last Sunday, and for a whole hour of it, we had your music in the background, and we mentioned your name about 5 times.
God bless you.
To all 4 of our listeners on the college station.
And in Germany and all over the world.
Right. So I'm not sure what's up next. I know there's kind of a beatnik theme going on. The Beats were ahead of their time. They lived in a rough time, as Magdalene was telling me earlier. Probably a lot rougher than now if you were any of those minorities. And there's a lot of people trying to make that bad time come back. I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous, but think about those poor Jews in 1939 going, "Oh, Hitler? Oh, no, that guy's a joke. He's stupid. He can't get anything done." Oops, I still wasn't going to go there. I wasn't going to do it. Sorry. Praise Bob. Slack for everyone. See you soon, and somebody else do this now.
To the lunch counter. Well, folks, this should alert you to what episode of whatever it is that we're watching.
Initiating now.
Fighting with giant monster.
Believe that rift of Billy's is here somewhere.
Yeah, it was
something
scary.
Compelled him to come here.
William Miranda, 1966, Madagascar.
1971, New Guinea.
1972,
people next door
Kazakhstan.
Really happy
he
about this.
He was chucking them into the rifts all over the world.
They all came out here.
This is it. This is Grand Central Station.
What? They can't possibly bother
them. Find a way to get Titan X into this rift. Yeah.
Titan X. Titan X is the big monster of their series.
Your suspicions confirmed. The two-body problem set forth by dextromethorphanilhydroxy. As Bob Dobbs, writing his name in urine on a snowy day in Youngstown, Ohio, scripted, "The truth is written in the stars. We shall crush the sun. We